They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
Verily, verily, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climb in by some other ways, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Before Jesus said again, "Verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to full."
When I realized that I was coming to the Church of the Good Shepherd, I am always delighted. I love to see old friends and new, not so old, some of them. Then I looked at the readings and I thought, oh, that's jolly convenient. The Church of England has today as the day of the Good Shepherd. So every church in the land has had these readings. And I thought, oh no, they've probably got some funky thing they do on the day of the name of their church. And then I realised, no, it's Lee, of course they don't. They roll with the punches, how we go. So I'm delighted to be here on this day thinking about the Good Shepherd. And what I'm hoping we can do is spend a few minutes thinking about who is the Good Shepherd. You might like to think who he is to the Pharisees, to the disciples, to the crowds who were under Roman rule looking for a saviour. You might like to think of it who the Good Shepherd is as the church, or to me, one of the sheep. Whichever we do, I'm hoping by the end of today, we will all have a connection with Christ that we can think about in a new and challenging way. I say challenging because we live in a beautiful, peaceful place here, and there are parts of the world which have nothing. And if you think about that verse, John 10:10, people always quote, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And they don't experience or don't focus or mention the bit that says before, the thief comes to steal and take away. But Jesus comes to give us life. So there are people and all of us, the thief is around coming to take our life away from us. our life in the full. So let's have a little bit of context for these two readings, because I like to join them together. And I was thrilled that we had Psalm 23, because of course the Good Shepherd is a theme throughout the Bible, all the way through from Genesis, all the way through to Ezekiel, the Psalms, Isaiah. The Good Shepherd is present. And for the church in Acts, the first reading, the Holy Spirit has been promised by Jesus and arrived big time. And we'll speak later about how they live and how they worship. It was exciting. And the John reading comes, and I do recommend you read the chapters before. The reading comes as we see the Pharisees absolutely horrified that Jesus is usurping their power as spiritual leaders. He's undermining them. He's picking food and healing people on the Sabbath. He's talking to women, women who are fallen in adultery. He's eating with women. He's eating with tax collectors. You know, he's saying that he's God's son. He's claiming that he was around before Abraham. It's horrific, and they're livid. As we know, because we've just been through Good Friday and Easter, they were so cross that they had him killed. People feared the Pharisees, the thieves who were taking life away from people. And there's a lovely story just before this about a man who was born blind and Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees are fuming and they drag him before them to say, who did this? Was it the devil? He must be the devil. And the man says, mate, I'm just telling you, I couldn't see and now I can. So they go to his parents and they say, right, you're his parents, you tell us. Has he been blind since he was born? And they give them a really hard time. The parents are so frightened of the Pharisees and the fact that they may be excommunicated from the temple that they say, mate, all we know is he was blind. You need to go and ask him. They didn't quite throw their son under the bus, but actually it shows how frightened everyone was of those spiritual bullies, if you like. And of course, other people were terrified of Roman rulers. It was a horrible place, time to be. Crucifixions were a regular activity. So people were waiting for a Messiah, for someone to save them from that physical and spiritual oppression. So let's have a brief look at the shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And this allegory, this sort of extended metaphor is lovely. It has this picture. Okay, there aren't a huge amount of sheep around here, but it has this picture of a sheepfold. And you might imagine a three-sided or four-sided with a gate, a wall. And Jesus is describing the sheepfold. And he's saying you need to come in through the gate. He's at the gate, and the gate's opening and closing, welcoming and keeping people safe. But he's saying anyone who doesn't enter by the gate with Jesus climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. And he's talking about the Pharisees behaving like thieves in the night. They don't come and ring on your front doorbell, do they? They go around the back and jemmy the back window. And that's what he's saying to the Pharisees, overburdening people with laws, making them do extra things to get near to God. Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. Listen to my voice. And in this 21st century, how many other voices do we have wanting us to click, to follow, to do this, to do that, to whatever it is that we're being asked to do? It's a beautiful image of these sheep following the voice that they know. Because in those days, they may have had three or four herds in the same sheepfold. And then in the morning, the shepherds would get up and come and call their sheep, and the sheep would only go to the shepherd that they knew. It's a lovely picture. If you've got kids or grandchildren or nieces and nephews, they know your voice. Is it Auntie Daphne on the phone? You know, they know your voice and they love your voice. And Jesus is saying, listen for his voice and have time to make that time for his voice. I've been reading a book. I went on an exotic retreat. it was in a very nice venue with lovely food. And I was offered this book called Practicing the Way. Be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. And I've spent 3 or 4 days thinking about that and reflecting on this with this reading. And really, Jesus as the good shepherd is there to offer us a space of sanctity, a space of peace, and a space to follow him. Don't follow strangers. Listen for his voice. Weird people who tell us that the end is going to happen on the 29th of November 3042. Don't listen to them. It's nonsense. Don't be drawn away as the Pharisees were drawing people away from God, trying to stop them having this lovely open gate that can allow you to God. I wonder who we listen to in our daily lives. I wonder if we get very excited when we get one more follower on Facebook or whatever it happens to, Instagram. You know, how many people are we following? Are we in with the trend? Well, maybe those voices aren't helpful voices. Maybe it's the voice of Jesus to listen for. And then it says in verse 10, this verse, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So there's a spirit, we know there's a spiritual world. Everyone knows it. They say, I'm spiritual but not religious. They understand, we understand. There are realms going on here. Jesus is saying, that's not my realm. My realm is that you can have life. Life now, and of course, as Jesus' resurrection shows us, eternal life. A friend of mine once, we were chatting over dinner, and he was a friend of my sister's, and we had this conversation about age and life and death. And he said, no, I live for 70 years, that's it, me done, out, I'm out of here. I was like, mate, no, that's not good enough for me. I want to be around forever. I love heaven. I love it here already. I want more, and I want it now, and I want it to start now and go into eternal life. And that's what Jesus is offering. So I think it's important, firstly, to recognize that there is spiritual opposition going along, and living like Jesus and becoming like him is one of the things as Christians that we aspire to. I confirm that I'm not perfect, so I haven't got there yet. So then if we think about, just to conclude really, we think about the people in the reading in Acts. It says here they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. What a healthy balance. They're listening to teaching, they're having home groups, they're breaking bread, they're having communion like we do, and they're praying together. And they were together and had everything in common. And they lived counterculturally. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who needed them. Their generosity must have looked bonkers. And it says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. So these new people who got this Holy Spirit activity that had been going on and was so exciting were a missionary church. People knew that they were behaving differently for a reason and they wanted to know why. So we might like to think for ourselves, do we behave differently and people wonder why? I remember the work that Hugh and I used to do on the Ferrier. The lads who were wild and just adorable, but really badly behaved. And we went back week after week after week, and Hugh was patient and listening. And I remember them one day, they said, oh, how much do you get paid to do this? I said, well, not much. In fact, virtually nothing. Well, why'd you do it then? I said, because God loves me. And because he loves me, and I know he loves you, I love you. And it was like that question, why are you doing this for no money or virtually no money? Why have you got so many volunteers? And that difference, if we are able to say to people, I love the Lord, I go to church because I fit in with my family. I love my church family. When we're together, we can listen for the voice of Jesus. We can listen to the gate being opened and closed as we're protected and opened and closed. If it's creaking, you can get Hugh to fix the creak because it's probably made of wood, this gate, I think. But their church in the early days had a steady, uninterrupted growth. It says here, doesn't it? They were praising God. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So there's quite an exterior thing going on as well as an interior thing. I'd call this group an interior meeting where we resource each other, we praise the Lord, we encourage one another. But then we go out and the world says, yeah, you've got a freedom about you and a peace about you that I love. What is that? And it's whether we have the courage or the wherewithal or the desire to say, yeah, I could tell you about the best Chinese takeaway, but actually, I'm going to tell you that my faith is what keeps me going. I've had a difficult week. I don't mind saying when I come back from retreat, I often feel that I can't even hear the voice of Jesus, let alone do anything about it. And the phone call to my friends at church and my friends who I worship with reminds me that the Good Shepherd, even if my ears are turned off, his voice is still there. So whoever you are and however you arrive here, I do encourage you to perhaps read the book of John or read a few chapters and think about the Good Shepherd and who the Good Shepherd is to you and where the Good Shepherd fits into your life. And what the Good Shepherd as a church looks like. And are people looking from outside and saying, wow, I like those people. They have the favour of the people. They're kind, they're loving, they're thoughtful, they're gracious, they're generous. And man alive, do they have a laugh. And if you go for coffee, they've got amazing cakes. So do think about that if you'd like to. And just wonder about the Good Shepherd and remind yourselves that Jesus is there for each and every sheep. And we are the sheep of his flock. So he's there for each and every one of us. Don't exclude yourself. Don't think the gate is shut to you. Whatever your history, your present, your past, or what we don't know, your future, the gate is wide open and Jesus will accept each and every one of us exactly as we are. And then we start that journey of full life.